Good morning. It is time for Talk Back. We heard from our good friend Ian, who sends us a synopsis of phenology in the Twin Cities area. He says it's summertime again in the Twin Cities after a short respite of cool days and perfect sleeping weather nights. My wife and I went for a walk through Theodore Worth yesterday evening and recorded a few noteworthy events. Most impressive was the Eastern Tiger Swallowtail Black Form female butterfly feeding the bee balm in the prairie. We also noted a white-striped black moth resting on a high bush cranberry leaf. It was a gorgeous night for a walk. At home, milkweed leaves are starting to curl below swollen seed pods. Milkweed tussock moth larvae have stripped many of the leaves down to the veins. Only a few caterpillars remain, however. They must have a favorite treat for some other critter. No signs of warblers yet, but the local crew is keeping me good company. I enjoyed watching the goldfinches harvest my sunflowers, often while completely upside down, leaving nothing but seed hulls on outstretched leaves. Meanwhile, downy and hairy woodpeckers, blue jays, nuthatches, and chickadees are enjoying the peanuts on the platform feeders and are no longer interested in the dried mealworms I have set out. Keeping good thoughts for the firefighters, flora and fauna out west. Hope you and the rest of KEXE are doing well and staying cool. Your friend, Ian. Thanks, Ian. Well, a really nice note and nice to hear about all the things going on down in the cities. Ian is an excellent observer, and we look forward to his notes each week. We also heard this week from our good friend Teresa Alto, and Teresa had this question about hummingbirds.
This is a phenology question for John Latimer. John, this is Teresa Alto from Grand Rapids, and I have a question about feeding hummingbirds. We have ravenous hummingbirds at our feeder, so ravenous that we have to fill it every day. And I am worried about what's going to happen to them when we leave town soon. Do I need to worry that I've made them too dependent upon us? Looking forward to your answer. Thank you. Bye.
Teresa, I think you're safe. The hummingbirds are pretty well adapted to finding food. They certainly enjoy the food that you and I supply, and I have the same situation at my house. I have a feeder with five opportunities to feed, and usually there are seven or eight hummingbirds that are fighting over those five spots. So, yeah, they are really putting on weight now. They're going to be migrating probably in a month. We'll probably see our last ones around the middle of September. But in the meantime, if you go away for a few days or a week, there are lots of flowers out there that offer them plenty of sustenance. And they'll quickly switch over and find food where they need. It may not be the same rich food source that you're providing, but they'll be all right. They'll find other sources of chow, and I wouldn't worry too much about them. When you get back, throw your feeders back out, and they'll probably come right back. We heard, too, from Sean, who had a note yesterday. I got this note, and it said, there's currently a great egret in the retention pond across from the Grand Rapids Taco Bell. And I have to tell you that over the years, great egrets have been a sort of a sometime visitor to northern Minnesota. This year, more than other years, I have had a number of reports of the great egret. This bird is all white, looks like a great blue heron, except that it's white, and it's not quite as big as a great blue heron. If they stood side by side, you'd easily see the difference. But unusual to see them this far north, also kind of welcome. Good to see the egrets coming this way. And if you have an observation like that, we'd certainly love to hear from you as well. We heard from our good friend Dick, who said, my son Paul and his wife Katie got a glimpse of a piebald deer on their way home from swimming. I thought you might be interested. And he sent along a picture of a deer that looked a lot like a Guernsey cow, except it wasn't quite that big. But definitely piebald. Lots of white and lots of brown. We heard from our good friend Dallas over in Akeley, Minnesota, and Dallas had heard me comment on our efforts to rid the rain garden of tansy, and he said, you mentioned something about getting rid of tansy from the rain garden. I hope you didn't pull it. I've got it all over and tried pulling a patch. It regrows from root hairs and came back even thicker. I don't know how you get rid of it. It's taking over my fields. Nasty stuff. But the butterflies do nectar on it. Dallas. And Dallas, I'll have to wait and see what happens to our rain garden. We did pull it, and with the help of Augie and Jeff Penix, we went out there and pulled all that we could find, and we will see how it comes back. I remember in one of the classes that Dallas and I went to, some of the foresters in the southern part of the state talked about burning it with blowtorches, big, heavy blowtorches, and burning it and having some success. But they don't have the outbreaks that we have around here. We really have a strong case of tansy. And if you have tansy in your yard, do your best to suppress it one way or another. We also heard this week from our good friend David, who visits us from Maryland each summer and is sending us phenology notes from his visit here to Minnesota.
Hi, I'm David, and I'm visiting near Grand Rapids this month. This is my phenology report for the last week. The goldenrod is in bloom on my grandparents' farm, and we have seen a lot of bird's foot trefoil on the roadside. On Sunday, I saw a black and white warbler in blackberry. Last week, we went camping in northeastern Wisconsin and the Keweenaw Peninsula. The temperature in Copper Harbor at the end of the peninsula was mostly in the late 40s on Tuesday. I couldn't believe it was the middle of summer. The maples were already starting to turn yellow. One thing we noticed about the Keweenaw was all the thimbleberry plants with ripe fruit. We have them in blackberry, but they never seem to have berries. I tried a piece of a chokecherry, too. It was so sour that it wasn't, and I think it burned a hole in my tooth. On the Bayfield Peninsula, on our way back from Copper Harbor, I watched yellow and black and white warblers and red-eyed vireos hop around in the same tree. While I stood there, an ovenbird landed 20 feet from me. On Sunday, we headed up to our backwoods cabin east of Marcel. There had been quite the blowdown. It must have taken an hour to move enough fallen trees off the driveway to even get the truck through. Last year, I identified a morning warbler at the cabin, and now that I think of it, it's a perfect morning warbler habitat, a clear cut surrounded by thick brush, raspberry bushes, and dense woods. That's it for my phenology report. Have fun with the deer flies. Goodbye.
Oh, David, wonderful report. Great bit of information. I really enjoyed hearing about the Keweenaw. That's a lovely place. And I should make another trip over there and visit. That's just one of those places that shouldn't be avoided. Thanks again, David. And yeah, thanks for the good wishes with the deer flies. Yeah, they're certainly here. Our final note this week comes from Jack, who says, when to pick. He's talking about the hazelnuts, and I looked at hazelnuts yesterday, and I think today would be a good day to pick your hazelnuts.